Hello, this is Pastor Henry with our 14th Midweek Memo. I want to take this time to invite you to our 11 a.m. service on Sunday at Grove Park Chapel. We do social distancing throughout the auditorium. We wear masks, we sanitize our hands, and we control the entrance and exit points into and out of the church. We would love to have you come join us this Sunday. We are located at 605 Sharon Road in Durham, North Carolina. If you have a Bible with you, today we will be looking at the book of Philippians. The title of this midweek memo is Expressions of Love. In the book of Acts, chapter 16 is where we read the account of when Paul visited the city of Philippi. It was in this city that Paul was imprisoned because he cast a spirit out of a slave girl who made her owner's money by fortune-telling. The occasion that brings Paul to write this letter is fourfold. First, he's writing in remembrance of the gift that the church at Philippi had sent to him. He tells the church in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need." Secondly, Paul's writing this letter as a response to the report Epaphroditus brought to Paul about how the church was doing. Thirdly, Paul is writing to answer to a request from the church. They wanted to know how Paul was doing. And finally, Paul was writing to discuss the recovery of Epaphroditus. He had gotten sick, but had recovered and was returning to them with the letter. Paul's purpose in writing this letter then is to accomplish several things. He wants to express his gratitude to the Philippians for the gifts they had sent him. It meant a lot to him, especially when he was incarcerated. He also was writing to express his gladness, not only for the Philippians, but also for the ministry the Lord was allowing him to have, even while in chains. The word joy appears five times in this letter. Another reason Paul was writing to this church was to offer some spiritual guidance to the believers there. And lastly, Paul was writing to promote goodness amongst the church members. He wanted the Philippians to welcome Epaphroditus home with joy and rejoicing. So, what can we learn from the Apostle Paul in this first chapter of Philippians? How can a man who has been in prison talk about joy and continue to spread a message that was partly responsible for his imprisonment? Let's look at six expressions from Paul's heart that kept him going and will keep us going when things get tough. Paul writes in Philippians 1, verses 3 through 8, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." Well, the first thing to notice is Paul's concern for others, in this case, the Philippian church. He said he remembers them, he prays for them regularly. He has them in his heart, and he assures them of his confidence in the fact that they will continue to thrive in Christ. Instead of focusing on his immediate circumstance, Paul is focusing on others who have been a blessing to him. He is encouraging others instead of having a pity party for himself. Now let's listen to Philippians 1, verses 12 to 14. "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Secondly, notice Paul's concentration on reality. He has been able to focus on what is really happening in the spiritual realm while he has been in prison. He says his incarceration has actually furthered the spread of the gospel. Now we know from Acts 16 that an earthquake opened all the jail cells and the prisoners could have escaped. The jailer saw the open cell doors and drew his sword to kill himself, but Paul stopped him. and told him all the prisoners were accounted for. The jailer asked what he needed to do to be saved, and he indeed was saved along with his family. No matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, let it be known that God is still at work. There's something else Paul expresses during his time behind bars. Philippians 1:19 says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Here Paul is expressing his connection with the Holy Spirit. He knows that the prayers of the saints are going up for him and that the Holy Spirit is making sure they are in accordance with God's will. Paul's not counting on his own meager resources for his deliverance. He is counting on the generous supply of God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is directing the saints of Philippi to pray and is also working in the lives of others around Paul, including the jailer. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you have God, the Holy Spirit, residing in you. It is up to every believer to be controlled by the Spirit of God. That is a tremendous resource to have no matter where you find yourself in this life. Next, Paul is expressing the cognizance he has of his testimony. Hear what he says in Philippians 1:20. "According to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." In Paul's situation in prison, it would have been easy for him to complain, to grumble, to blame others for his misfortune. He could have even railed against God, whom he was serving. He knows he does not want to be ashamed. For him, disappointing his Lord would certainly bring him shame. He wants Christ to be magnified in his body, whether that is continuing to live as he is or through his death. Magnifying the Lord with our bodies means we yield our bodies to the Lord. Our voices, our ears, our eyes, our minds are all yielded to what the Lord wants for us to be doing for him. By the way, people see us and are far more impacted by what they see us do than what they hear us say. Charles Spurgeon once said, "The sermons most needed today are sermons in shoes." I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I'd rather one would walk with me than merely tell the way. The eye is a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but examples always clear. The best of all the preachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you'll let me see it done. I can watch your hands in action, your tongue too fast may run. The lectures you deliver may be very wise and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I might misunderstand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live." Paul goes on to express his confidence in the next life. Here's what he says in Philippians 1:21-24. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you." Paul knows there is something in store for him when he departs this life, and that something is a someone, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a relationship with Christ while sitting there in the Philippian jail, but if he departs, he will have a face-to-face relationship with Christ, which will be totally unencumbered. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned, directly or indirectly, approximately 318 times in the 260 chapters of the New Testament, or about one in every 25 verses. We, like Paul, should be living with that eternal perspective. Whatever place we find ourselves in, we know it is only temporary, and that one day we will dwell with the Lord for all eternity. Lastly, Paul expresses his cogent view of suffering. Paul finishes this chapter of Philippians with these words, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Paul, above anyone, knew what it was like to suffer for the cause of Christ. Listen to this list he recites in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 to 26. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He tells the Philippians to stand fast in a unified manner because he knows the enemy will try to destroy their faith and the fellowship they have. He also wants them not to be terrified by their adversaries. The Lord is a mighty God, and there is no one who can stand against him. No matter who the enemies are in this life, the believer is assured of ultimate deliverance. Paul tells the believers at Philippi that the suffering they go through is something granted to them by Christ, just as the ability to believe in Christ was granted to them. It's like the apostle is saying to suffer for Christ is a privilege that has been granted to you. How many people feel that suffering for Christ is a bestowed honor? It truly is an honor to think that the God of the universe has chosen a person or a group of people to stand for him and represent him even to the point of death. What has the Apostle Paul expressed in this first chapter of Philippians that we can hold on to when we're facing difficult times? When going through hard times, we need to show concern for others and not dwell solely on our present situation. When going through difficult times, we need to concentrate on the spiritual reality. What is God doing here? Perhaps the trouble I'm going through now will be a benefit for others in the future. When experiencing troubled times, we need to remember our connection with the Holy Spirit. We know he intercedes for us and he leads others to do the same. He is our major resource and he indwells every believer. When going through tough times, we need to remember to be cognizant of our testimony. People are watching us, and what they see from us will speak louder than anything we may say. When passing through troubling times, we need to remain confident in the next life. Whatever is happening, it is temporary. Our time in God's presence, where there is no pain, suffering, or sin, is eternal. And if we're called on to suffer for Christ, we must capture the cogent view of suffering Paul expressed. The suffering is granted as a bestowed honor. Is there any higher or more noble cause to suffer or die for than the salvation of lost souls? I trust these words will be helpful to you. Until next time, may God bless you and keep you.